Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Over the last 9 games, Bo Nix has 19 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. Bo Nix is playing on schedule. He's not taking negative plays. He's athletic. He's a guy that's able to move and run around. Bo Nix is playing really, really good football.
Yeah, he is. He is.
As much as we've been talking Jaden Daniels for offensive rookie year, Bo Nix has leapfrogged him right now.
That is Damian Woody over on ESPN's Get Up, talking about Bo Nix. And yeah, he is the offensive rookie of the year at the moment.
Oh, for sure.
He has leapfrogged Jaden Daniels. Yep. I think that's 100% correct.
16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 2,500 yards. Kind of the only reason why the Denver Broncos have an offense.
They have gone from very defensive-led. The early parts of the year for Bo Nix were rough. Nate Geary was tweeting about this too, some of these rookie quarterbacks, like that essentially their development is not linear, which is 100% correct. You're mm-hmm. seeing guys like Anthony Richardson get benched, come back, they're playing a little bit better. Bryce Young absolutely looked much, much better against Kansas City this week, and even then he's looked a little bit better. I mentioned Josh Allen in his rookie year when he got hurt against Houston. He had 2 straight games under 100 yards.
Yeah.
And then he comes back after, I think, missing 3-4 games, something like that, and he's under 200 yards once for the next 6 games. His rushing totals leapfrogged what he was doing before, when now all of a sudden it's like he's going to be an all-around weapon, and then it kind of went from there. And then, of course, he continued to progress from 2019 into 2020. Nix, though, you do look at it. I mean, that's right. You talk about him developing since – the start of the year. He didn't throw his first touchdown pass until week 4 of the season.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it took him a while.
He had 4 interceptions and no touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then he threw that first touchdown. And then, since the game against New Orleans where he went nothing, 3 touchdowns against Carolina, 2 against Kansas City, 4 against Atlanta, 2 yesterday against Vegas. He's putting together a really, really good season. A guy I was not the biggest fan of. I didn't like the age.
24.
I didn't love really almost anything about him. But he is really, really working within Sean Payton's system. Mm-hmm. And there's not like a ton of named guys on that roster. Like Cortland Sutton is kind of the guy.
Javonte Williams at running back, but sure. He has had a rough year.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those. I mean, his leading receivers are Cortland Sutton, Devon Vail, little Jordan Humphrey.
Troy Franklin.
And Javonte Williams in terms of receivers. Yeah. I think he's second in the team in receptions behind Cortland Sutton.
Man.
And so he's not making great. It work with a not really great roster.
Don't have a tight end either. Trautman.
I love what the NFC or what the AFC West is going to look like in the next few years. I really do.
No, it's going to be great. And if the Raiders kind of get it together too after this season,
but it's fine.
No, they never will. But they could maybe. But the Chargers getting good with Harbaugh, we'll see how long that lasts. But at least it'll at least last for a few years, right? Like it's not going to be just like a 1 year wonder.
As I've said it, you usually got about a 5 year window in there before everyone gets frustrated,
right?
And
so
it's out.
If in that 5 years, you know, the Chiefs continue on this trend where they're on, where it's, you know, these close losses or these close wins and questionable wins and all that, you know, it's really going to change the dynamic in that division, which is kind of what this AFC East division was projected to be.
Was supposed to be.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it was looked at as, well, here comes Aaron Rodgers and Tua's getting better and the Dolphins are signing the right people and the Jets are young. Like, and it all fell apart.
I will tell you, though.
The AFC West is the exact opposite.
Looking at this playoff leaderboard, what have you, Miami is freaking me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do need the Packers to beat them on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, and badly, too. I need it to be a bad loss.
They're starting to pick up wins. I think Joe said it, though. Like, we're in this period now where, like, Tua is beating up on bad teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
It's a tale as old as time. The Dolphins will be great, play the Bills, fall apart.
I don't want to play them a third time, though.
No.
I think there is a certain point where you've played them too many times. They'll get one on you.
Yep. Yeah.
Three times a year feels like that.
The law of averages will say, yes, the one time you will lose, and it'll probably be the one that's most important.
Yep. And when they had Tua, yes, he had to play perfect here in Buffalo.
Yep.
And yes, the game will likely be much colder, and he won't be playing that great.
Right.
But I just don't want to do it again. Bo Nix, though, with Denver, I've said it a lot, and I'm still sticking to it. That's the team I'd want to face in the wild card round. They're still the seventh seed. But the better he's playing, the more it's like, oh, all right, yeah, that being 24 years old is actually starting to help him a little bit.
Right.
And, yeah, there is going to be sort of this feeling of he's coming into Buffalo, maybe not as, I don't want to say awestruck, but there is something to the you know, years being added on, and all of a sudden, yeah, you could be returned for a 21-year-old, but then you're just probably going to be more mature at 24.
I'm still so on the fence because I know you're still very on the side of, you know, McDermott against a rookie quarterback in his NFL playoff game in Buffalo would be the case. I'm still so on the fence just because of how much it looks like he can change games and how much he can influence a game at such a, well, again, not young age, but young NFL age, let's say.
Yeah.
And I don't really want any part of that. And obviously, you have to pick somebody, and I would probably pick them over the Dolphins. But, like, I just don't like the way that matchup sounds. Because, again, it feels like a game where, you know, a scrappy team will come in and make you pay for some stupid mistake in, like, the first half, you know? Like, and then your season's over. And it's just, I don't want to sit here and be paranoid about the playoffs because it's November 25th, and we're nowhere near the playoffs yet. But at the same time, you look at what has happened to the Bills in the past few years, where it's been kind of closer wins in the playoffs than you would like, or close losses. And, you know, you hope that since it's a different team and a different regime and everything like that, that it will kind of be working itself out once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want a team that could bring that back out of you.
So right, so who, if it's between Miami and Denver, I just posted a poll as well on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather them play, Denver or Miami?
Well, I did just say Denver, but at the same time,
I'm fully at Denver.
At the same time, you have Miami's number. You always have had Miami's number, but like we were just talking about, you can just easily lose.
Eventually,
a game
I feel like that will go
time.
Away. I feel like that will go away.
But at the same, like looking at this here, with everything that's happened with Tua this season, I'm by no means hoping for this to happen, but he has gotten the card of injury prone at this point. He has to have that moniker put on him. And there's a lot of season left. There's a lot of games left. If the Dolphins are truly pushing for this playoff spot, you're playing hard, but it's going to mean more. It's going to be more intense.
Yep.
Can he withstand that? I don't think so. And again, I don't want that to happen. But just judging what you've seen from him so far in his career, I just don't see that happening. Whether it be a concussion or something, that's obviously the last thing because of everything that's gone on. But everything with him, I just don't know if that's sustainable.
Webb's tweets in, playing Miami is very dangerous.
It is. It is. But
I'd rather have Denver. And you're right, to everything. They have Miami's number. They've beaten him two times this year.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that being said, like, eventually that comes due. Eventually they do get over.
And they've gotten one. They got one last
and
year.
And it doesn't have to be a thing that all of a sudden now Miami's going to go on a run here. It doesn't, because you're right. Like, Miami did beat Buffalo and Miami, and then we just started off again. I'd rather not, though, that one random game be a playoff game.
Right. In a year
where it feels like the Bills can go on a run here. I'd rather not play a team now a third time, because the playoffs are all about matchups. Mm-hmm. It's also why you want to avoid Baltimore.
Right.
You don't want to play Derrick Henry first. I'm somebody that has said I want to play Baltimore again because I think
just
they
not
can
the
beat
first
them.
Round.
Just not the first round. Let's wait a little bit. Miami would be the same thing. If I think they could beat them, I'd just rather not play a team for a third time this year.
Right. Whereas
and then all of a sudden it does kind of get thrown up of they've seen everything.
Yeah. Denver, you haven't played at all.
And it's a rookie quarterback making his first playoff start on the road. I'd like that matchup against Sean McDermott. After that, it's all crapshoot of who survives to round two.
To be fair, though, I mean, the Dolphins, you played them when you already, like, you played them once without a seasoned Keon Coleman and without Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
You also didn't have Matt Milano both times you played the Dolphins, and you handled their offense pretty easily. They only saw one game where Amari Cooper was in, and I don't really even think he was utilized, if he was in at all, because of the...
Against Seattle?
No, well, against the Dolphins the next week. Because didn't he get hurt in Seattle and not play against Miami?
He did not play.
So again, there's one very key aspect that the Dolphins haven't really seen in-game yet is Amari Cooper. And I'm not saying that would completely change everything, but it does make a big difference in terms of...
I think absolutely. I
mean, how they can... Because they already can't handle you offensively. Allen has their number in pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you add in another player like Amari Cooper to that mix, and I just think that makes it so much more difficult for the Dolphins. On the flip side, everything about that matchup is, again, it's the recency of, you just played them twice, and you're playing them a third time, and it's been like that pretty consistently, except for last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first year of Bills dominance, it was the perfect game against the Patriots. But then it was, you played the Dolphins in Week 18, and then you played them again the next week in the playoffs. Or maybe not Week 18, but you played them...
You played them late, and then you played them in the playoffs.
You played them late, and then you played them in the playoffs. But so that... It was very uncomfortable then, too, because it was you're playing them very close together. So...
I'd rather not do that.
I'm so between on this, because... You look at the Broncos, and everything we just said about how their offense is not really built to succeed. Bo Nix is just kind of not getting lucky, but
he's developing.
He's developing, right? And their defense, it's Patrick Surtain. That's it.
Mike tweets in: speed kills. If we lost to Bo Nix, we don't deserve to go any further, anyways. That might be fair.
That is true.
That might be fair.
That's very true. If you lose to a rookie quarterback on a team that almost didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they get the seventh seed.
Yeah.
Probably third in the division, and you lose at home.
Yeah.
That is a really rough thing to sell for the offseason if that's your loss.
Man.
Yeah, give me Denver, though. Give me Denver. I'm not totally there on the speed kills. For me, it is just like they've handled Hill and Waddle well.
For sure.
For me, it is just you've played them so many times. Eventually the division games, and it doesn't have to last. Miami then could go on to lose the next eight. But if they get one in the wild card round, like we were saying, in a year where it feels like you can go on a run here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be mad.
I'm so on the fence with this. I can't. I'm leaning Denver, right? Like it's.
You're not totally there.
Getting that way. But it's just I can't deny what the Bills do against the Dolphins. I cannot look past that.
Right now it's about 70% are choosing Denver to about 30 choosing Miami.
And it makes sense. Like, right. Like
that's where I'm at. That's where I would much rather have is give me Denver, give me the rookie quarterback. Because, again, I like the idea of Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage with this defense, how well they've been playing. They don't even have a good run game. Like, it's not even like – it's an okay run game. It's solid. Give me that. He's playing well. He maybe should win the rookie of the year. I think he's arguably the favorite now. But it's all about matchup-based. I don't think Denver would also want to go there. I think Denver would likely want to go to a Houston if they're the AFC South winner. That's where they'd want to go. Likely not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or they'd like to maybe, arguably as well, they'd like to go to a Pittsburgh, because then there's that feeling of, is Russell Wilson actually going to be able to put up that many points against us, against our very good defense? There is a feeling. It's why I've also wanted to maybe play Pittsburgh as well in the playoffs. There is that feeling of, but Allen can make more plays than our guy.
Yeah.
And then you add in the Bills' defense against a rookie quarterback. I like that matchup a lot.
You're convincing me.
I like that matchup a ton.
Ultimately, I don't think Miami's going to make the playoffs.
We then also have someone else tweeting in, they have Tua's number and the weather could be bad. Which, yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
if all of a sudden the game is 30 degrees, it all of a sudden is like, it's immediately.
I mean, last year they played in a freezer in negative 3-degree temperature.
And it was never a game.
It was never a game. Like, man, you're convincing me to Denver, but I just can't totally deny the success. I don't care that much about the averages. I do think that the Bills can consistently control games against the Dolphins, especially, again, with the weather. They're the one team where it's like, yes, I'm happy the Bills didn't build a dome because you can guarantee that you're going to beat the Dolphins now because the Dolphins suck in the cold weather.
They're
and the
terrible.
Snow. They're bad.
Denver's rushing yards per game, by the way, is 23rd in the NFL, 111.6. So they do not have a good rushing attack.
No. Well, and like I said, Javonte Williams, for all he was when he came in and then he gets that injury, he looked great, but this year is just not panning out.
Andrew voted Denver. Miami has a higher ceiling, far greater risk of a couple of explosive plays from Hill or Achan or Waddle ruining your day. McDermott routinely puts rookie quarterbacks in hell. That's what I'm talking about, Andrew. Tough to beat a team three times in the year, they say. Familiarity does narrow the outcome, I think.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
You're on Denver?
Fine.
There we go.
Also, because I don't even know
where their defense does freak me out, though. They are third in points allowed at just under 17, first in sacks in the NFL, 44, 10th in interceptions, 9.
But they have not played
very,
the Bills.
Very, very good defense.
They have not played the Bills.
No, but that is a very, very good defense.
Yeah. But also, speaking on this, too, with, you know, familiarity and everything like that, it's, you know, the whole three times in 1 year plays into it for sure. But I don't really know if it should or not because of how much the Bills control that.
Oh, but it will.
You know what I'm saying? And also, too,
you get more film on, you see who has done well against the Bills and who has not. Look, ultimately, let's look at the last game they played. They finally decided to run the ball. They right. finally were like, "Oh, wait, the Bills are inviting that."
Yeah.
They've told us, if you pass, we will kill you. Mm-hmm. And then we kept passing. They finally decided, Achan's awesome. We're just going to run the ball. And it caused a very, very close game in which Tyler Bass had to make a 60-plus yard field goal to win it. Mm-hmm. They kind of have figured out how to play the Bills.
Yeah.
I would rather not do that again. I would much rather go up against a team in Denver who, like I just said, is in the bottom percentile of rushing attacks in the NFL, have a rookie quarterback making his first start in the playoffs, and ultimately, like you brought up as well, if they do make it in, it would be by the skin of their teeth. They'd be the 7th seed.
Mm-hmm.
All matchup based, and that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. Nate tweets in, rookie quarterback against McDermott in Buffalo for his first playoff game, LOL. What's the opening line of that game? 10.5. Give me Denver.
But also, too, in like 3 weeks, is this even going to be a conversation? The Dolphins have to be...
As long as the Dolphins lose on Thanksgiving, no.
Exactly.
I just need them to lose there.
The Dolphins play the Packers. That's going to be a tough game. They play the Jets, which, I mean, if you don't win that, then you really are cooked. Then the Texans. Come on. The Texans lost to the Titans.
They're
going to get to some spot where they get
them.
Right.
They're going to win the AFC South, and it's going to feel disgusting.
Yeah.
Not the 7-9 like Seattle from a number of years ago where you're kind of like, oh, that's a little something.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are this bad. This is kind of fun. No, like, they're like uncomfortable bad where it's like, you are supposed to have a good quarterback.
Yep.
Nico Collins is cool. You were kind of awesome last year. What the hell happened? That's where they're at.
Right. And then you look further down Miami's schedule. They got the 49ers, the Browns, and the Jets to close it out. There's a definite room in there. They're at Cleveland too. So at Cleveland on December 29th.
Sunday Night Football, baby. And Jameis Winston knows how to play in the cold now.
Jameis Winston knows how to play in every element now. He can beat the Dolphins.
He's evolved.
He's evolved. But again, we're talking about weather, and it does play a part, especially for the Miami Dolphins. That is a very valid argument when you look at the Miami Dolphins because of how bad they are in cold weather games. That game in Cleveland, that could be very vital to their playoff success or playoff chances. I don't think they would win that if it's a 30-degree day in Cleveland.
I do want to bring this up, though, and I get it's been against three teams that you can arguably say are not good, but they may have found a defense. They have not given up more than 20 points in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is something they have not had. That has been a big reason why Josh Allen has had their number, is that they whooped them.
Wait a minute. Look who they played.
Sure, but...
The Rams are the one team I'll give you a little bit there, but then they played the Raiders and the Patriots.
And they whooped them. It was never
a
contest.
Right, but they played the Raiders and the Patriots.
Chop Robinson looks awesome. Through this run here as well, he's had 3.5 sacks through these three games. He has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's him finally waking up. I mean, those are his 3.5 sacks this year. He's got him in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
he's finally becoming something. He's a rookie as well out of Penn State. That also gives me pause of, ooh, they've developed a defense.
It's potentially. The Raiders and the Patriots.
And did Buffalo's offense look all that awesome against
them? No. Okay, fine. I'm being a little...
I'm just saying.
Going a little bit too far with the point, but my point there is I don't... They haven't shown me enough where they can be proven yet. And yeah, they're rookies, some of them for sure, but they've also not handled their injuries very well. Over the years, the reason the Dolphins have had problems is because they can't stay healthy on defense.
And they're thin.
And they're thin. They're very thin. They have one guy, maybe two, and then if they get hurt, it's, well, what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. So it's... There's still... promise there, sure, but it's not proven to me yet. It's to the point where I'm kind of like paying more attention to it. But I look at this matchup and it's a coin flip for me, honestly. I could go either way, but ultimately I will go with Denver. You've convinced me.
I feel good about that.
Because I think that the Bills can beat the Dolphins every single day of the week, but it's the playoffs and weird stuff happens.
Numbers still looking like about 70% Denver, 30% Miami. Sabres, by the way, do want to touch on them real quick here before we hit our next timeout. Paul Hamilton is going to be joining.
Three-game winning streak.
Yep, Paul Hamilton is going to be joining the show here in just about 8 minutes.
So this is their third three-game winning streak of the season?
This is.
Yeah, three more than last year.
Yeah.
Not actually. They had two last year.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like it because they were in March.
And they've gone 3-1 without Tage Thompson up to this point. It has been very impressive how they've gotten it done. Yes, the opponents they've played,
actually,
San Jose.
4-1 now.
4-1?
Yes, because he didn't play in the St. Louis.
No, that's right.
Did he play?
No,
he didn't play in the St. Louis game. So 4-1 now without Tage.
They've been very, very good up to this point without him. They're grinding out games. You're getting other guys, playing well. And then a stat I do want to bring up with Paul Hamilton: even strength goal points for defensemen. Owen Power is, I believe, still first. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. Cale Makar is first. Power's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Byram number three.
Ooh.
They are getting a lot of work out of their three-star defensemen as kind of the hope.
Yeah.
They're still taking bad penalties, but their penalty kill itself is a very good unit. And you saw with James Reimer against San Jose.
They do.
They maybe have two good goalies that they can operate now, because UPL should get the lion's share here.
Oh, for sure.
But when those back-to-backs come up, it was nice to see Reimer go in, and immediately you're like, cool, Levi can stay in Rochester now for a little while.
Right.
Reimer can lead this way. And I'm hoping, because I actually have, I think J.D. Dominicis also, of Expected Buffalo, is also saying this. I actually have liked how they've handled Tage.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till he's 1,000%.
Yeah.
Because you saw what happened last year when you brought him back early.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the same player.
Yeah.
If you bring him back when he's 100, he's the same player.
I was talking to a few friends over the weekend, too, and it's, the question was, why would Tage go on the road trip if he's not going to play? He can practice.
Yep.
If he's not on the road trip, he can't practice with the team. He's clearly well enough to practice, but they just don't want to push him into a game yet. So that's, I really like that they kept him along there, because then it also, if you believe in any of this stuff, it's, it plays into the mind games a little bit of, oh man, Tage is here.
Maybe
is he
going
to play against us tonight? Like, that whole thing.
But, and they did sort of wait till like last minute always to bring it up.
Right. But the point more so is he's practicing with the team still. He's keeping that chemistry going. He's not getting stale. He's able to practice to a point where he's barely out of the game. And, the whole, recovery thing too is great.
Yep.
The Sabres hold the third place spot.
Mm-hmm.
Not a tie. They are in third place in the Atlantic. You know how far off they are from first in the Atlantic?
6 points?
Five. Same amount of games played as Toronto. 2 points behind the Panthers, who have been struggling. Three losses in a row for the Panthers.
The East is not escaping itself, but the Sabres are starting to pick up wins. They got Minnesota on Wednesday. We'll get more of a word, though, in on how the Sabres handled these three wins in California after a quick timeout. Paul Hamilton will join the show. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres penalty kill on the ice for another minute, 7 seconds. Granlin carries it in, drops it back. Wenberg, Liljegren, far circle, one timer. Oh, what a glove save by Reimer! And he spun it around and caught it out of midair. Oh. Are you kidding me?
James Reimer. First start with the Sabres went very, very well. He got a highlight reel goal, might be goal of the year.
Have you seen his hockey reference nicknames?
Oh no! This is always.
These are great. These were making the rounds on Twitter, and Joe brought them up this morning. He's got fantastic nicknames: Optimus Rhyme,
that's good.
The Statue,
okay.
Busta Rhyme,
okay.
And the Rhyme Minister of Defense.
Yeah, those are all. Really
those are good. All so good.
Those are all good. He goes in his first start with the Sabres. 31 saves, a .939 save percentage, and then of course you heard that highlight save right there. Really, really good performance as the Sabres go 3-0 in their West Coast road trip. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I am well. How are you guys?
Doing very well. I mean, look at the Sabres. Honestly, Paul, outside of the poor start, they have been a good hockey team this year. Not great, but good.
Yeah, no, there have been times, they finally had to figure it out. Lindy Ruff had to figure out what he needed to do with them and for them. And, once they figured all that out, they've gone on a nice run here, 7-2. And you look at the run that they're actually on, and it's some of the numbers are some of the best in the National Hockey League right now over that time. They have the best penalty kill. They're number two in points percentage. They're number four on the power play. And if you remember, when they weren't doing well, their special teams, both of them were in the low 20s. You know, like 29, 27, you know, something like that. And it just goes to show you how important special teams are. Because, you know, they go on this 9-game run and their special teams are number one and number four.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Why.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. A lot of this, the recent success too, Paul, something that has continued to jump out at me, they're doing it without Tage, who was a guy we talked about when he first got hurt. I don't know if they can sustain this. You were saying it too. You can't lose him for long periods. And it's only been, what, 5 games that they haven't had him for? But to go 4-1 in that stretch, that's impressive. That's good.
Yeah, especially when, you know, he's your leading goal scorer and had played such an important role with the team. And I still don't think they could survive without him for a couple of months. But in a short-term situation, it's given them the opportunity to see Kulik at center, something that Lindy Ruff wanted to see. And it's gone real well. I mean, I think he's done what he did in Rochester. He's been better at center than he was at wing. And in Rochester, he was a good winger. But then they put him at center, and he was even better. You know, and I think he is a better centerman. Now, I don't know what you do once Thompson gets back. That's a problem Lindy Ruff can figure out, and a good problem to have. But, it's allowed them to have that opportunity, too.
You know, Paul, we came in with that Reimer highlight there. And obviously, James Reimer is not going to be, this 30, 40-game guy. But at the same time, if you have something in there where it's a 20-game at most backup goaltender, you can leave Devin Levi in Rochester and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who has played well before in these high-volume scenarios. It looks like a good situation the Sabres have kind of fallen into here, right?
Yeah, well, after one game, yes. I don't get
right,
too
that is
carried
true.
Away
it is,
over,
it is
over
one game.
One game. But what I do give him a lot of credit for is to keep himself ready. That was only his third game since training camp started because he never got any preseason games. Then he got the two games in Anaheim. Neither one went extremely well numbers-wise. Now, I'm not going to tell you I watched the game, so I don't know exactly how they went down for him. But, you know, those are the only games he's played. And to be able to step in and play the way he played and to be ready in that situation, I think is a huge credit to him.
And then, Paul, real quick, I did want to bring up this stat here because I saw it this morning, and it just the grin on my face as I was reading it. The even strength NFL defenseman points. Powers no longer one, but him and Bo Byram are 2-3. I mean, that's something as well. You want, of course, probably Darlene to be up on that list as well, but to be able to have all three of those quote-unquote offensive defensemen be up there is fantastic for this guy. He's going long-term.
Yeah, it's. I didn't even realize Byram was up there until I checked today to see if Power was still number one. And I saw Makar is now 1 point past him, and then I saw Byram was number three. So that, you know, just goes to show you, too, they're getting production out of their defensemen, which is something that really we haven't seen in a long, long time. You know, the defense as a whole. Yeah, you've seen it out of Darlene. But, you know, as a defense as a whole, you know, I think that's something that really has, you know, done a big thing to help them move forward, too. I can think of two plays in this trip for both players. First, Power, you know, he stops a rush and immediately gets the puck up ice to Zucker, who had a breakaway, and he scored. But it was just like, bang. All right, we kill the play, up ice, and he springs him. Byram does the same thing with Krebs. He's at the blue line, steps up, kills the rush, immediately finds Krebs heading up ice on the left wing side, starts a 2-on-1. Krebs walks in, scores on the 2-on-1. I mean, and that just gives to those are just two plays where kill the play, up ice quickly, kill the play, up ice quickly with great passes. And, you know, that's another thing that they're doing much, much better than I've seen them do in years.
Paul, also looking at how this affects the rest of the team, too. Looking at a guy like Rasmus Dahlin, who might not be as, you know, up there in terms of points with these guys or things like that. But it kind of – does it take pressure off him as – you know, in years past, he's been the guy, right? Now it's, hey, Power's stepping into his role and Byram's stepping up as well. I feel like it's a nice way to take pressure off the new Sabres captain.
I think what helps take pressure off the Sabres captain is they're getting results, the winning. Because that's why he gets so crazy, because he just wants to win so badly that he loses his head and then, you know, things go south on him and he doesn't play well. And I think the fact that, you know, as a team, they're playing better, that it doesn't make him think, we've lost four in a row. I got to do something here. I got to be the guy, you know, and then he tries to do too much and then he gets upset and then he loses his head. And, you know, now I think, you know, I think it really does help him that they're on this little bit of a run of 7-2. And that does take some pressure off him because not only are his defensive teammates doing well, but it's a five-man unit playing defensive hockey. And you're getting good goaltending. I mean, Luukkonen's won 5 games in a row. So you're getting good goaltending. And, but part of the good goaltending, and Luukkonen has talked about this, is the players in front of him. You know, they're playing much better, which means he's not getting as many breakaways. He's not getting as many 3-on-0s, or 2-on-0s, or 3-on-1s, or the rest of it, or surprise shots when, you're not thinking you're going to get a shot. He's not getting as many of those, so that helps him play better. But that's what I think helps Darlene is just that his teammates around him are playing better, and that I think maybe would help him relax a little bit.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. The Sabres not back in action until Wednesday when they host the Minnesota Wild. Paul, looking around the rest of the Eastern Conference, particularly the Atlantic Division, no one has really, I mean, we've talked about this. No one is really separating themselves. It is not like years past where it was Toronto, Boston, Tampa, and then Florida as well. Just they're gone. Everyone else is just left by the wayside. The Sabres are 5 points away from Toronto. They're 2 points away from Florida. All of them have played 21 games. Even goal difference as well. Sabres are plus four. Fuller's at plus two. Toronto's at plus 12. It does seem like a year. I know Brayton brought up the stat last week as well of what, like 77% of teams have made the playoffs if they're sitting in a position come Thanksgiving. But this does also, the East is sort of lining up where the Sabres are playing ball with everybody and keeping themselves alive here.
They are, because what's been happening by Thanksgiving is, all right, you're 7 points down, which you're okay. That's not a, you can make that up, but you got to be in ninth place to make that up, you know, right on the heels of the eighth place team. And then maybe they'll go on a streak where they're not playing so well and you go on a streak where you are and you can make up those points. The problem is when you're 7 points back and there's six teams to hurdle. And that's what they've been in almost every year by Thanksgiving, where they're down, they're behind, but they got to get past six teams just to get to the team that's in the playoffs. And six teams are just not going to go in the tank for you. Even as hot as you want to get, somebody's going to get hot too. And then you're not going to get by them all. So I think that's the most important thing right now, is they're in position now. The teams are chasing them. And, yeah, Tampa Bay right now is out of the playoff race, but they have two games in hand on the Sabres. But they got to win those games. You know, the games in hand don't mean anything if you don't win them. Jeremy was pointing out earlier that the Sabres have those points now. Mm-hmm. And now they've put Tampa in a position where they have to win some games to catch them, you know, because the Sabres already have those points. So, you know, it's just a much better situation, even though the Lightning have two games in hand and Buffalo has one game in hand of Boston. They're tied in points. Buffalo is in the third position, while Boston is in the second wild card because of tiebreakers. But Buffalo does have a game in hand on Boston. But you got to win that game if you want to make it count.
So, Paul, looking at, you know, how the standings break down and everything like that, it also makes you look at the Sabres' previous wins. And I'm looking back here at just the last three, but you could also look at their last five. They've all been very close wins where the Sabres have had to come back and win it towards the end or right at the end or just hold up. I mean, looking at the LA one specifically, when's the last time you saw the Sabres hold out in a 1-0 win? I mean, that was a very hard-fought game for the team that they haven't had in recent years. Is this the Lindy Ruff effect kind of finally taking shape into this team, or are these players finally playing consistently? I mean, that's one of the things that they've had issues with over the past few years, but it seems like things are kind of working themselves out, whichever the case may be.
Well, sure, it's Lindy Ruff. And the Los Angeles game was impressive. I thought it was a gutty win because they didn't get frustrated with the way Los Angeles was playing them. They knew the Kings were going to play that way, so they knew they were probably going to have to be patient in that game and not start going, oh, geez, it's 0-0, it's the middle of the second period. Let's start making wild passes and let's start doing this or doing that, and then those turn into turnovers and they go the other way. That's exactly what the Kings want you to do. They're trying to put you trap you into thinking, all right, I'm impatient. I got to do something here, you know, and then you do something dumb, and then the Kings will pounce on you. And the Sabres didn't do that. You know, they stayed patient. You know, after 40 minutes, I'm sure they were just fine. It was 0-0. It's like, okay, we're fine. Now let's go into the third period, and they did it very early in the third period because they had a power play, and they got the goal. So I just thought it was a gutty performance, and it is two different types of games that you're playing. I mean, that Reimer save, I don't think they beat San Jose without that save, because if he doesn't make that save, it's 3-1 Sharks. And then I think it's back-to-back, it's 3-1, everybody's into it, but that save just rises everybody. You get energized on the bench, and it's still 2-1. And lo and behold, you get two quick goals, and now you're ahead 3-2, and you win it 4-2 on the empty netter. But so there's a different way that they score. They're finding different ways to win on different nights, depending on what's going on, and I think that's key also.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Tour Hotline. Sabres not back in action until Wednesday night at home against the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota may not have Kirill Kaprizov. Got an MRI this weekend. Appears to be day-to-day. Paul, feeling on a Monday, do we think Tage Thompson plays Wednesday, or is it going to still kind of be this day-to-day thing they're doing?
I have not seen Tage Thompson since Monday, last Monday, so I have no idea. And even if I have seen him, you just don't know how he's going to feel. He thought he was going to play Wednesday. And then, you know, we talked to him on Saturday in Philadelphia. Everything was great. And then on Monday, he said, no, I kind of, you know, I was competing. It's different than a morning skate. It's a competing practice. And I felt it. But he said, the good news is I took some treatment before I was talking to you guys. And that worked. It felt really good. So that, and then, you know, they were thinking, all right, well, he's going to play Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, Lindy Ruff said, if he doesn't play Friday, he'll play Saturday, or he'll probably play Saturday. And that didn't materialize. So he's still on the ice. It's not like, I just think he's at a point right now where he can't get over the hump. Like Paterka, when Paterka had the concussion, he was practicing. And you know, once he got back on the ice, he was practicing, but it took him two or three games to be able cleared to play. Whatever the reason was, there was just one step that he couldn't clear to get back in the lineup. And I think that's what Thompson's running into now. There's just one step that he can't get past to be able to, you know, get back into the lineup. So who knows? I mean, once he gets past whatever that is, you know, he'll be there.
And we will find out, hopefully, on Wednesday. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. His reports on WGR brought to you by Ekbull Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. One other thing before we take a quick time out, I was looking through the rest of the Atlantic and how teams have been playing. Florida, by the way, Josh, they have lost three in a row. They've also lost five of their last six and have only picked up points in that win.
Oh.
They are not playing well.
Wow.
Losing two straight to New Jersey, 4-1, 6-2. Beat Winnipeg 5-0. Lose to Winnipeg 6-3, and then lost to Chicago 3-1, and Colorado 7-4. They play Washington tonight at 7. Washington, obviously, without Alexander Ovechkin. So they have been sitting at 25 points for a little bit here.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that. I knew they would lost three in a row. I didn't realize it was five out of the last six.
And that's also partially why their goal difference now at +2, Sabres at +4,
yeah.
And then Toronto +12. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Quick final segment, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One Bills Live coming up at the top of the hour. Sal Capaccio, who we'll be joined by on Wednesday as we do get ready for the Bills to begin their week of preparations as they get ready to take on the San Francisco 49ers Sunday Night Football from Highmark Stadium. Sal tweets out, if the Dolphins do lose to the Packers Thursday night, the Bills can win their fifth straight AFC East division title with a win over San Francisco on Sunday night. So not only are we rooting
That's
for them to
fantastic.
Not make the playoffs,
yeah.
but you can win the division on Sunday night. That would be fantastic.
That's great.
And on the Dolphins, do real quick before we get out of here, bring up the poll that we put out there. If the Bills stay at the 2 seed, who would you rather the Bills play in round 1, Miami or Denver? Denver currently sitting at the 7 seed, Miami just on the outside looking in. Denver does currently lead the poll 66.4% to Miami's 33.6%. Edward, though, tweets in, Miami easy in January. Tua is a timing quarterback, any Southern team as far as that goes in terms of bringing them to Highmark Stadium.
Every time I hear that, I just go back on. I can't decide, Zach.
I like it like that. That's it for you. It's just like no. The cold weather, it's going to get them.
It really is. Like I really think that that's a major factor for them.
It definitely is.
It's undeniable. Even though the fact of a rookie quarterback, I know, I'm still going to go with Denver.
I will take Bo Nix every day of the week. On the road, first playoff start over a Dolphins team that you can argue figured out how to beat the Bills, which was, give the ball to Devon Achane and stop throwing it and letting Tua get hit. I don't know, man. It's not rocket science. They're kind of letting you know how to beat them. They're just better than you a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for me and Josh. We'll be back on tomorrow, but coming up after a quick timeout here on a Football Monday, One Bills Live. This is WGR.